The Killing Doll, written by Ruth Randell and read by Rick Jerram.
Chapter 1. The winter before he was 16, Pup sold his soul to the devil. It was the beginning of December and dark before 5. About 2 hours after that, Pup collected the things he wanted and went down onto the old railway line. Dolly had gone to the hospital. There was visiting between 7 and 8, and Harold was nowhere about. Possibly he'd gone to the hospital too. He sometimes did. Pup carried a cycle lamp. He went out of the gate in the fence at the end of the garden and climbed down the slope through the trees and bushes. Here the old railway line lay in a valley so that the gardens looked down onto it, though in other places the grass path where the lines and sleepers had once been ran along a raised embankment. It ran over bridges and under bridges, 4 or 5 miles of it, so overgrown in the summertime that from the air it must have looked like a strip of woodland. Now, in the winter, the birches and buddleias were bare, the grass thin and damp, clogged with rubbish, sodden paper and rusty tins. Between the clouds a misty moon glowed, a sponge floating in soapy water. To the left of him rose the brick arch over which Mistley Avenue passed. It was more than a bridge and less than a tunnel, a damp, dark hole through which a light or two could vaguely be seen glimmering. In the middle of it someone had once dumped a feather mattress from which the down was still leaking. There were always feathers everywhere inside the Mistley Tunnel, stuck to the bricks or ground in the mud, or floating like white insects in the dark air. Pup shone his torch, and its beam showed him the tunnel's greenish walls, running with wetness. He squatted down among the feathers and lit the candle he'd brought with him. He had also brought a small kitchen knife and a cup. His soul, he had thought, must take some visible, tangible form for him to hand over. The knife was quite sharp and needed only a touch to the ball of his thumb to bring the blood welling. A drop of blood, 2 or 3 in fact, fell into the cup, and Pup contemplated them by the light of his candle. Now he'd gone so far, he hardly knew what words to speak. Up in a tall chestnut tree in one of the back gardens an owl cried. It was no hoot that it made, still less a to-whit-to-woo, but a cold, unearthly cry. Pup listened as it was repeated, that keening eldritch sound, and then he saw the owl, a big, dark, flapping shape silhouetted for a moment against the inky reddish sky at the tunnel's mouth. He was suddenly aware that he was cold. His blood was flowing in single sluggish drops down the shiny white inside of the cup. He stood up and held out the cup and said, "Devil? Oh, devil, this is my soul. If you'll give me everything I ask for, you can have my soul and keep it for ever. Take it now. In exchange, you've got to make me happy." He paused and listened to the utter silence. A feather floated down from the roof and was caught and burned in the candle flame. Pup wondered if it was a sign that his soul had been received. He decided to take immediate advantage of it. "Make me grow," he said. It was 2 weeks before he told Dolly about it, and then he told only part of it.
"You what?" said Dolly.
He was doing Marlowe's Faustus for O-level.
"It's in a play we're doing at school. I thought I might as well try it. After all, my soul's not much use to me, is it? Well, you can't see it or feel it or do anything with it, so I thought I'd sell it to the devil."
"Sell it for what?"
"Well," said Pup vaguely, "just good things to have. Everything I want, really. I asked him for things."
"You might have asked him to stop Mother dying," said Dolly, as if she were talking of someone offering up prayers.
"I don't think that's the kind of thing he does," said Pup thoughtfully, taking a second chocolate eclair.
Already a little prematurely assuming maternal care of him, she was feeding Pup up on rich cakes and encouraging him to take plenty of sugar in his tea. "Building him up," she called it.